Hey Joe.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Good, hurry up.
I said hurry up.
Oh.
I feel like we have more than
go
enough
fuck
voices.
Yourself. I got here very early today to try to do this before everyone showed up, and then I had to reset everything.
Are you gonna put all 98 plus sightings in here?
Yep.
That's what it feels like.
Only got 88 to go. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Human Reaction. We are glad to have you here. If you are new to the show, please like, subscribe, follow us on whatever platform you might be watching or listening on. And if you want to get access to our exclusive members-only content and join the SCIF, the members-only show, go to humanreactionpod.com to find out how.
And also, you can come chat with us in our community Discord, where you can show whatever you're seeing in the news, talk about the podcast, talk about other podcasts, and also post dank memes like this, where you can say, you know, not sure whether to ignore the news and be uninformed or read the news and be misinformed.
And this week especially, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, isn't there, David?
Yes, sir. This week we're talking about Hunter Biden gets away with 459 potential crimes. The greatest getaway since Sean Connery escaped Alcatraz.
Oh,
losers always whine about their best. Wow. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Oh,
that was literally the quote I was thinking of. That was not coordinated. He picked that up on his own because he saw it.
Yeah,
and we have the same sense of humor.
You went and did that?
Yeah.
Nice. We're a fucking team over here. I love it. Well done.
My dad
That's
loves
telekinesis,
that.
Telekinesis, Cal.
Yeah, so we Joe Biden pardoned his son for all the hookers and crack that he did, right?
That's right. The story. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
I can't say anybody's surprised by this. Or is anybody surprised by this?
Well, you should be. Because of tweets like this.
Yeah, so Biden posted, and this was in response to Trump during all the accusations going on against Trump, "No one is above the law." And Community Notes has gone back and said, "By pardoning his son Hunter, not merely for a single crime, but for all actual or potential crimes he may or may not have created over an 11-year period, Joe Biden has made it clear that some people are, in fact, above the law."
Well stated.
I wish that was the actual community note that was suggested. It didn't get adopted as the official community note. It was much more tame, the real one. But
yeah, this one just like way better lingo in it. But
it really does.
It was tamed, and this was what Elon Musk posted.
If you do
it was
get
the suggested version.
If you do get access to community notes, you do get to see a lot of interesting back and forth of this sort in the community notes area. Yeah.
David is a you're a community notes
contributor. Yes, I do.
Yeah. That is the seat of power. You are the fact checkers now.
Yeah, maybe. Right. That's democracy at work.
Well, it is funny because if you go into, like, you can see on, say, like Wikipedia, you can see all the changes that are made in real time, and you'll see the same thing where people are like debating and fighting it out. And it's probably just like one Intel op versus another Intel op fighting it out over like truth over whether you say Kiev or Kiev. But you can like watch them fighting out and them verbally going at each other, right?
It's like some really catty work document where everyone's like collaborating on a Google Doc and like leaving snarky comments for each other. I can just imagine how annoying that would get. I'm so glad I'm not visible to that. So he pardoned his son after, you know, obviously all of the press and the press secretary were all like, he's not going to do that. Nobody's above the law. And supposedly this is for the gun and drug crimes. But the fact that he made this period of time 10 plus years for crimes he committed or may have committed or may have taken part in covers a lot of things, including what, David?
Yeah, so it's also since the year 2013,
2014. That's actually one of the reasons why the community note didn't work, because it says 11 year and it's actually a 10 year period, 2014 to 2024.
Well, it's the end of 2024. It's December 1st.
That's fair.
So close to 11.
Yeah. Okay,
semantics.
Whatever.
Okay. This is what we would argue about if we were in community notes. Is it 11 or 10?
Yeah, but in my the statement that goes with it. So he releases the actual order for pardoning, and then he releases a statement. That statement makes it seem like it's about the politicalization of, like, the political prosecution of his son, because he's Hunter Biden's son, for a gun charge. He bought a gun when he wasn't allowed to, functionally.
Because he was high on drugs.
Yes. And then there is also several charges he actually found guilty of failing to pay his taxes. He now is now cleared of that charge, although he's already paid that.
Now, the funny part about this, just to interject for a moment, is that I've seen a lot of libertarians chime in saying, like, yeah, he should be pardoned for all those things. Drugs shouldn't be a crime. Buying a gun while being on drugs shouldn't be a crime, and not paying your taxes shouldn't be a crime. So there's, like, a lot of people on the libertarian side saying, like, great.
It's a little short-sighted because
They're being too autistic about it.
Definitely.
Unequal justice at hand. The idea that you get pardoned because you're the president's son, not because of, you know, because of the principle that applies to everybody,
right,
which is that these are victimless crimes.
And the back half of that sentiment is, now go do it for everyone else who's in jail for these things.
Right.
Which exactly. He won't.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Of course they wouldn't. Right. They are, this side is pro-gun control. This side is pro-everyone pays their fair share. It's the very side that is most zealously prosecuting these crimes are the people who are making a great exception and then justifying it to the public, which we'll get into, why this is an okay thing to do. So what it comes down to, and this is an assessment out of the laptop, is the potential of all the other things that he could have been prosecuted with. This doesn't even include the most important one, but the what I would consider to be the second most important ones would be 191 sex crimes, 128 drug crimes, and 140 business crimes within just the laptop.
Wow.
Hell yeah, brother.
Well, and among those sex crimes, there's a lot of allegations about sex with minors and things like that, though, too.
Care to retract that hell yeah, Bennett?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, sorry to ruin your hell yeah, brother.
Well, it's obviously sarcastic anyways. But
then we also have the, like, all the stuff. There's all the, like, alluded stuff in there, which is like, oh, 10% to the big guy, and, you know, there's all the kind of scammy corruption that's going on, particularly when it comes to Ukraine and China.
Right.
And that's the big one that wasn't ever prosecuted, per se, was the crimes of influence peddling as a non-registered foreign agent. And that's a serious crime. So this is exactly the thing that, you know, they accused Trump of, and then turn out to be false because the FBI actually, what was it, the CIA knew he was an informant to the CIA, while the FBI refused to, like, ask them about it or really tell the public that the CIA told them that he was an asset. So that sort of thing was, he wasn't a non-registered foreign agent. He was just a guy who got approached by Russians and then told the CIA, right? Because he was an informant.
Well, he was also on the board of the National Democratic Institute, which is a kind of like the DNC wing of USAID, which is a CIA cutout. Like, he was obviously he was doing influence operations that as part of for the intelligence community.
Well, and that might explain
that seems to be the case.
That might explain the 2014 timeframes, because much of the crimes he's actually been accused of, or at least charged with, that this would actually do something about. And that's why the language is really important, is including but not limited to, and then from 2014 to today. So why is 2014 the day? Because most of these crimes that he's actually in process of being accused of or prosecuted under are 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 era, everything going up to 2020. So why 2014? The best guess is its connections to the intel operations, specifically, and this is the Mike Benz thesis, just to remind everybody, what we've been talking about with this is the idea of Ukraine as an intel agency, State Department operation to control natural gas in Ukraine and exploit it for the benefit of Europe using London and American finance rather than Russian gas. That way you isolate Russia from a major market, you push them out of that market, and then you get the profits. You also get the geostrategic aim of isolating and making Russia poor and unable to fund its military war machine. That was the operation.
Help me, I'm poor.
Yeah, going all the way back to 2004, probably, with the initial color revolutions all across Eastern Europe, to 2014 with the removal of Yanukovych, the formerly pro Russian, at least not super pro EU president, being ousted in the Maidan coup. Reminding everyone that was done by Nazis, that we funded through the State Department, spending hundreds of millions or tens of millions at least dollars to do it. USAID was part of that. We don't know if he was directly linked in the Maidan coup specifically, but he was appointed to the Burisma board after this. So any crimes related to that would be one of the things. And then additionally, some of the Chinese accusations from the emails also trace back to 2015, 2016. So you want to cover that entire time frame. So 2014 makes sense. That could be why that is there, although obviously we don't know.
It's also worth remembering that the Hunter Biden connection with Burisma and everything that was going on there is the reason that Trump was impeached. like he was making deals with Zelensky. Yeah, I had the best phone call. Like when Trump talks about the phone call with Zelensky, this is what it was talking about. And he was holding up a weapons deal to Ukraine. This is pre-war. And it was, you know, he got impeached for having a quid pro quo of, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back type of a deal where I won't give you the weapons unless you investigate the corruption that's going on and this influence peddling scheme that's going on with Burisma.
Yeah.
That was the impeachment for Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, heaven forbid we have, you know, we reduce corruption and withhold weapons. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just remember at the time, a lot of people failed on this topic. There was a lot of people that buckled. Like one of the only people was like Thomas Massie that didn't buckle on this one. A lot of good guys in Congress buckled on this as well during that time and signed for the impeachment of Trump on this. And a lot of it, like the more libertarian minded people, they're just like, well, he's giving weapons to Ukraine. He's like, you're not paying attention. like there's this whole operation that's going on under the surface right here. It's not about the weapons. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So the one of the questions I asked when I first looked at the language here is like, wow, this seems very broad, although I'm not that familiar with pardons. Right. I don't know that much about them. I haven't dealt with them before. Doing some research, it looks like the only real equivalent, and it's not nearly as broad, is the Gerald Ford pardoning Nixon after Watergate, which was any crimes committed during his presidency for 4 years, not 10. And it was a unique circumstance. I think comparing the two is kind of ridiculous because Watergate's like goal, like not Watergate's, the pardoning of Nixon was in order to heal the country, right? Not to give the country a release valve for what was happening with the faith in institutions.
Sure.
Even if you're not an institutionalist, you could still see like the angle there of a motivation that does that isn't as jaded and ridiculous as I'm pardoning my son because Republicans are meanies and I don't like it and I'm a father.
Well, it's also because there's been rumors over the last like 6 months or so that Trump was going to pardon Hunter Biden. And in this type of spirit of a moment of healing. It's like, we'll expose what's happened, but you'll get the pardon.
Right.
And so on. But it seems maybe it didn't work out or something. Maybe there was some sort of negotiations that we just didn't see in public eye. And I don't know.
Or maybe it's more important that we don't know what's happening. That doesn't come to life.
Or maybe Trump never did. Maybe it was just rumors. Because I remember Tucker asking Trump this in an interview just a couple weeks before the election.
Yeah.
And Trump kind of gave this, like, I don't know about that. Yeah. of answer. So,
he paid a large price for not persecuting Hillary Clinton once he came to the White House last time. I mean, a lot of people said, like, why didn't you do that? And I was like, well, I wanted to heal the country. It's like, the country hates you. Everybody, the establishment hates you. They're never going to like you, dude. So maybe he learned that lesson.
I said go scorched earth.
And that's why we have the appointees we do, get into Cash Patel in a little
bit. Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit, because that's where we start to see some of that maybe come into fruition.
Well, and I think there is that risk that Trump does go scorched earth to a degree, which is why, you know, as we'll get into in the press reactions a little bit, like a lot of people are calling for Biden to pardon everybody, basically. Right. But the reality situation with the Hunter Biden pardon specifically that I've learned recently is that he waives his Fifth Amendment right by accepting this pardon. He's immune, but he can be subpoenaed to testify against other people. So it doesn't protect Joe Biden exactly the way that maybe they think it would. I would assume that they've kind of brought this into their calculus, but other people that are involved in what went on in Ukraine can still be prosecuted. So there's still the opportunity that Hunter is called to testify against them. Will he tell the truth on the stand? We don't know, but that obviously exposes him to perjury if he doesn't. So it's sort of a silver lining-ish of the situation, I think.
How does this affect Hunter's art career?
I mean, I would say this adds real texture to his arc as a creator, and I would think his values will go up substantially.
You know, it is funny. This is a bit of an aside, but like we just pulled this from Mario Nafal here. I remember going on a Twitter live stream like a year ago that was literally just Hunter Biden being interviewed and pitching his art. I was just like, what is happening?
Well, the
right
other
now?
Piece of this too is there's a I believe one of the partners at Sequoia Capital came out and said this bastard still owes me $300,000 from back rent that he tried to pay with art made of his own feces. Now, I don't know if that's entirely
what appears that he would be cleared of that crime if he didn't pay his rent.
I mean, a lot of that's probably
right? It's all crime.
It's all
to be clear, it's literally all of them, right? Yeah. So like every if he had unpaid parking tickets, they're gone now.
No, well, hold on. A lot that's of this art's probably money is. Laundering too. Like well, a lot of his art career.
Yeah,
realistically. Right.
I think the other detail here that maybe isn't being considered is I don't think that a federal pardon applies to state crimes. I believe that's up to the governor of the given state to pardon for a crime committed at the state level.
I think the pardoning power is probably broader than that. I mean, that's the unique thing about the pardoning power is how strong it is and yet how relatively less used it could be, like you would see in a banana republic size sort of situation.
Let me, I'll grok it. I'll grok it. Just about to. Nope, I beat you to it.
Well, while you're grokking, let me, is that the proper verbiage, while you're grokking?
We want to get into the press. Yeah, sure.
We could pull this because one of the things here that's going on is Democrats are kind of preemptively calling for pardons over the entire administration.
Yeah.
You got some grokkage?
It appears here that I am correct. Yes, score one for me against David, who knows everything. No, a presidential pardon does not cover state crimes. The president of the United States can only grant pardons for offenses against the United States, which means federal crimes. State crimes fall under the jurisdiction of state governors or state pardon boards, depending on state laws, according to Grok. XAI. Okay, so anyways, he could still be exposed to other things if governors decide to start bringing charges, but I don't know if there's a lot of political capital to be gained here. I mean, you could see some stuff potentially happening, but
that
like
was also sarcasm.
Audience. Well, a lot of his crimes are going to be on the federal level, anyways. Like there are a lot of outside the country type of,
but deals. Not as unpaid parking tickets. So I was wrong about
that. Yeah, and $300,000 back rent.
At that point, I don't care about unpaid parking tickets. Like those are weird semantics that we don't have to get
Maybe
into.
Maybe he was doing a bunch of blow in Florida, and Ron DeSantis just lays the hammer down on him. You never know.
Probably was.
You never know.
Yeah, but once you start that in Florida. Where does it end? Anyways, so we do have the reaction from the press about this is, Democratic pundits try to defend Biden's decision here.
Grant of clemency. I hope that President Biden will also issue preemptive pardons to all of those people threatened by the injustice of what will become the Department of Justice in the Trump administration. That, of course, includes Jack Smith and all of his staff, many Department of Justice lawyers. It includes President Biden himself, although we don't know that anyone can legally pardon themselves. He will need a pardon because he is going to be harassed and charged for no crimes whatsoever. Donald Trump has promised that.
Anthony, to pick up on that, do you think that what played into the president's decision here is...
Just let's just pardon the whole administration.
Yeah,
Why not?
Let's just do it. Let's give everyone a pardon.
It's like an episode of Oprah. You get a pardon, and you get a pardon.
Is Biden going to drop out his last day and Kamala gives him a pardon?
Yeah, let's 25th Amendment him on the last week of the presidency. Be like, we'll give him a week. We'll do this like January 13th or something.
See, I think Biden's too far gone for anyone to care about pardoning him, right? Like,
yeah. Well, he can't even be prosecuted because he doesn't remember anything.
he's too incompetent to go to trial.
Exactly. You can't prosecute an old man like that. Like, this guy's got dementia. In fact, wasn't that a decision?
That was what happened.
On the documents case.
Because, right. Trump got tried and he got tried for basically the same thing. And they're just like, well, Biden's too incompetent. So he was like, this was like 9 months ago.
But he's the president.
It's fucking insanity.
I remember that.
Hunter's just handing him a bag of money from China. He's like, oh, is this hamburgers?
In a similar vein of like liberals seeing the incoming Trump administration of being like the worst thing that's ever happened. It's going to run, a terrible fascistic takeover of America. Here's another one on justifying the pardon because of firing squads.
It's a lie because
NBC News said it.
Honestly,
NBC News.
What the other side has been saying for years, what you guys ran on for president was multiple lies. I mean, if Eric Holder said it right, I think he said if Hunter's name was Joe Smith, this case would probably have never even gone to trial. Right? That it was always a political witch hunt,
Department brought the
and
case.
It was always.
But Lee, wasn't to Scott's point. I mean, wasn't it a lie? I mean, you can defend it, but wasn't it a lie that he was not going to pardon him?
No, I believe the circumstances have changed. I think that we have now have a president
has come to light,
coming into office who's talking about firing squads, who's talking about running people around the country and making sure that everyone
the audio
on
the
is
listeners.
Going to
We just saw
punished.
Eyes roll in the back
Hunter
of the
Biden
school.
Lied about his drug use on a government form when he was buying a gun. And he failed to file and pay taxes when he was a drug addict. He paid back those taxes with interest. Donald Trump himself was indicted for 17 counts of criminal tax fraud, more than Hunter. And he's going to be the president of the United
11
States.
11 years.
So
There you go. Wow. So, the firing squads, I think, is the operation there. Is they think like Trump is literally going to line up Democrats and fire and like not fire them from their jobs, but rather
shoot them.
Well,
shoot them.
And this is another remember, Dick Cheney thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's on his interview, his live interview with Tucker. He was talking about like all of this narrative comes from him saying that if Liz Cheney wants to go to war so bad, give her a gun and have her go out and fight a bunch of other people with guns. And
she might get shot.
They translated that to Trump wants to put Liz Cheney up against a firing squad. Which, you know, I'm just
yeah, what did Dave Smith? He's like, I'm already voting for him.
I think
I already like the guy.
Dick Cheney, definitely. Liz, I don't know. She's like not a variable.
They're all part of the same USAID programming, right?
But I still am saying what's interesting is the manicness of the left here. Like they have lost the plot. They are so off.
I'm freaking out, man.
And yeah, La La Land here. They have no ability to defend this, yet they continue to. When he lied straight to the face of the American public, he looked us all in the face and he said, will you do it? I will not do it. We don't have to go into the clip, but yeah. And then the Never Trump Republicans are also going there to get mad about it, but it's because Trump bad.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And here we have, for our final clip on the media reaction, we have Joe Walsh, who ran against President Trump in 2020. If you don't remember, he was in the primaries. If everybody forgets, he got like a solid half a percent or something.
I do forget.
Never knew that.
Crushed it. Good job, Joe.
I thought he was a Democrat.
Good job, Joe. Well, he's a former Republican congressman.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, here's him talking about the pardoning.
What do you make of all of this? What is likely to be the response on Capitol Hill to this breaking news?
Good to be with you. See, I told you so. They're all like that. So the next time any of us complain about anything Trump does, this pardon is just deflating. For those of us who have been out there for a few years now yelling about what a unique threat Donald Trump is, for Joe Biden to do something like this, Trump, nobody's above the law, we've been screaming. Well, Joe Biden just made clear his son Hunter is above the law. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his mouth, we've been screaming. Joe Biden repeatedly lied about this. The politicization of the justice system, Donald Trump and his people have been screaming. Exactly what Biden said here.
So essentially what it comes down to is Biden pardoning his son makes it harder for us to attack Trump.
And that's really the problem.
That's the problem here.
Yes.
Now, and to be fair to him, he is saying this is a bad thing. Like he shouldn't have done this, right? Because Hunter should
But it's all in the framing, right?
But the framing is that, right? Which will appease the Never Trump Republican base, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Bill Crystal's over there going, yeah, exactly.
<Keep doing it. laughs> Little golf clap.
Yeah.
He's combing his mustache, petting it like a cat in his lap. Yes.
I actually don't know what he looks like. Does he have a mustache?
John Bolton?
Oh, no. I said Bill Crystal. But yeah, John
sorry.
Bolton.
That's what
John,
I was like, wait.
I just, they're the same
Democrat
person
now.
To me.
He's functionally
so
a Democrat at this point.
They're just
so.
The same
One has
person.
A mustache, one doesn't.
Bolton is probably like, a better example.
Yeah.
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 So what are they so afraid of? What they're really afraid of here is when Trump takes office, he will actually prosecute the left of actual crimes, if crimes have been committed, because he's not from the system. He's not purchased by the system. So he
How
might do the
you?
Thing that you're not supposed to do, which is a little word that we would call accountability. Now, this could go too far. They could say there's no doubt the Trump administration could go too far. They could prosecute someone who hasn't done an actual crime. But we have to actually get there first before you can just leap to that assumption. The Democrat operative that we went over is just leaping to that place. They have no real basis for it. And one of the one of the things they're pointing to, and this comes from the New York Times article and how they're covering it, is the appointment of Kash Patel as FBI director. So Trump put out the announcement. We can go and dig into that. As I talk over kind of some of his background here, Kyle. Kash Patel is a former federal prosecutor. He's the former chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller, and responsible for leading the secretary's mission at the department. He was also the senior advisor acting director of the National Intelligence. So what that means is that he sat in and became kind of Trump's Ukraine guy of sorts, even though he doesn't really, most of his background was actually in counterterrorism. He kind of became the lead touch point for the Trump campaign in trying to implement a more sensible Ukraine policy while he was there. It isn't clear to me exactly what Kash's point of view on Ukraine was or what his function was for Trump in that. But this is a major attack factor because it was like, this is how Trump undermined the Ukraine policy of Congress was Kash Patel. Mm-hmm. That's why he's hated so much.
Yeah, and he's been a pretty big, Trump loyalist, you would say. And, you know, the left will use that as a pejorative, but like, I think you need to have people that are loyal in your administration, right? And he did a lot of work on the Russiagate stuff. He did a lot of work on the J6 stuff. He's been pretty good. He's been pretty good on these things. I think everybody should be probably pretty, at least if you're in this kind of world and this culture, should be pretty happy with the Kash Patel pick. Might be one of the best ones out of the bunch.
And he's one of the better motivated for this role because he has personal experience with the deep state. He wrote a book about the deep state called Government Gangsters, the Deep State, the Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. And he was personally persecuted by the FBI, as he talked about in a Tucker interview.
Yeah, and here is that Tucker video.
We heard that Donald Trump tried to make you director of National Intelligence.
He tried to make me deputy director of the CIA. Basically, what happened was Gina Haspel, of all people, walked into the Oval with Pence and some other deep state operatives, and Gina started crying and said, "You can't do that." Pulled a Bill Barr and basically said, "I'm going to lose the building." I was like, "This is rich coming from the lady who architected Russiagate, is informing the commander-in-chief she tried to take down. Why I, the guy who exposed Russiagate, is not appropriate to be the deputy director of the CIA." It was kind of funny.
I was talking to these former officials saying, "What was it that you were so scared he was going to do?" And all of them, to a T, said, it wasn't about a specific plan necessarily. It was that whatever Trump's whims were that day, his ideology in some ways was just centered around carrying them out.
They just need the headline, and then the rest of it doesn't matter to them. Kash Patel is under investigation for what? And then if you read into the article, it says, anonymous sources have said that Kash may be under investigation. Oh, so I'm not under investigation, or I am? And then what's it for?
Yeah.
So the important model there is he might do what Trump wants, and that's why he's bad.
How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like something that I would think was bad if I were a Democrat.
Actually, could we jump over to the New York Times one? It's the next one, Kyle. This is a really great example of that. And this is from a New York Times article about Kash Patel and why he's the worst thing ever. Is before Mr. Trump, no incoming president had to replace the FBI director on a whim. It's a role that is meant to exist outside the normal structure of a political appointment.
We have to keep it safe for our bureaucracy. That's the whole thing, right? Yeah.
Save our bureaucracy. The interesting thing here is, and this isn't to simp for Trump, this is to point out that there is a problem that is, as they say, called the deep state a conspiracy. And they literally, in his Wikipedia article, he says he's a believer in the deep state conspiracy.
He's a believer that there is this bureaucracy that exists inside there.
Like, as I write all the articles saying, the problem is he's not going to play around with the deep state conspiracy.
I saw that on his wiki too. I saw that I was just doing it. I was just being like, oh yeah, what were some of the major things I noticed that pop up there as well? Like if you go to his wiki article, it is full on intel op. Of just denigrating him right now. Like I should just pull up the wiki article right now and we can see it.
I have it linked on the right there, Kyle.
Oh, do you? Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. And especially because they made a special wiki page to summarize the deep state conspiracy.
Yeah.
That alone is a mind blow to me. Like I can't hardly believe it.
Do we know, are these new additions to the Wikipedia entry? for cash?
I could do a dig.
It was updated several many times today. I know when I looked at it this morning again to check one of my parts of this. It had been updated a minute before I looked at it.
Wow. Yeah.
Patel is a believer of the deep state conspiracy theory. In 2023, he published the book Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle of Our Democracy, which Trump praised as the roadmap to end the deep state's reign. So, yep.
He actively promoted the QAnon conspiracy theory.
Well, not just that. Patel has also promoted several conspiracy theories related to COVID-19 vaccines, the 2020 American presidential election, the federal government, and federal government employees.
And here's a look. Yeah, right. Actively promoted QAnon. On Truth, he promoted a handle with Q, but also it's important to
know. According to Media Matters.
According to Media Matters.
Totally neutral. Yeah.
Super
which
neutral.
Which is totally not just a
reliable source.
Intel carve out.
go to the link for 144 for 44 there, Kyle. What's the link to suggest all that?
44.
Just at the bottom. Right? Yeah. What is that? It's an opinion piece.
It's an opinion piece.
from Mother Jones. Jones.
From Mother Jones.
Mother Jones. That's what I'm talking about. Now, it might be an intel
Mother
op, or it could just be
Mother Jones
you don't
is
like.
A like hyper left wing
yes,
blog.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Not exactly known for being down the line.
This is why professors are against people using Wikipedia, because they'll just copy that right out of the text but not check the citation.
Oh. Well, you should assume anything of note that matters, you should assume intel operations going on in Wikipedia now. Like,
oh, for sure.
Like the founder of Wikipedia says that.
I would love to know.
Yeah. Remember when we covered that? We covered that as an episode.
I would love to know what Kash Patel's Wikipedia page looked like before he was ever being considered for FBI director, before his name was in the news, before there would have been any opportunity to like dress this up to make him look extra.
It'd be around for a while because his name's been floated around quite a bit. And it was also before what's his name got CIA director, he was in the running for CIA as well.
John Ratcliffe.
Everybody saw Ratcliffe and they're like, oh, bummer. Patel's not in there. And then Patel just got FBI. Right? Yeah. So,
by the way, just on a side note, we did see before we started recording today that Chad Chronister, who was going to be what was Trump's nominee for DEA head, has pulled out. He's withdrawn his name from the running after like just a slew of blowback on social media for how bad this guy was on COVID. He like arrested a pastor in
Thomas
Tampa.
Massey really led the charge on that.
He
put out a tweet and it just went super viral.
Like, got him out of it. That is a big win. And I just have to reiterate, like we've talked about this a few times in more of our staffing episodes, but like I just love how the public is so involved in this and how like something will get released and then the internet just blows up about it and it makes its way around and then all of a sudden like there's pressure put on that person to pull out.
Elon's ex, man. Like
it's huge.
It's just we didn't have this before.
Yeah.
It's we're in a completely new environment now.
And the other side of that is how the mainstream press, the corporate press, reacts with "ah," and no one cares, and we all go like, "Huh, that's funny."
Yeah, you guys got to see Morning Joe freaking out about the Kash Patel pick.
This is not only bad for the men and women who run the FBI. This is not only bad for the rule of law. This is not only bad for the First Amendment.
Just ran war crimes.
This is not only bad for the United States of America. This is bad for Donald Trump. This is bad for the Trump administration. This is not going to end well. So I think the best case scenario for everybody is.
Why is Mika staring deeply?
That Kash Patel and this talk of Kash Patel ends. Like the Matt Gaetz nomination ended. Because this will not go well for anybody. And I still believe there will be four Republican senators who will not vote to confirm somebody who says he's going to throw judges in jail. He's going to throw bureaucrats in jail. He's going to throw reporters in jail who did not go along with a 2020 Stop the Steal conspiracy.
Stop. I already like him.
This is kind of interesting. He brings up Matt Gaetz, and I don't want to detract too much, but I did see a tweet from Matt Gaetz regarding, I think it was Trump, you know, truthed out or whatever, something about saying, because Hunter was pardoned, doesn't this mean, you know, we should pardon all the J6 protesters? There was a lot of talk about that. It's sort of like a, you know, tit for tat pardoning going on. And obviously a lot of people think the J6 protesters should be pardoned and let go. They've been in prison without charges for a long time. And many of them were completely nonviolent. Some of them didn't even go in the Capitol.
Some of them weren't even near the Capitol.
Exactly. Yeah. And Matt Gaetz quote tweeted one of those and said, don't worry, like help is on the way or something to that effect, which may indicate, and this is all totally my speculation, that he's going to be somehow involved in the J6 situation.
Yeah. Or another position. He's still deputy FBI, something like that. He could be in.
Special prosecutor,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. There's still options to get him involved.
Also with the Matt Gaetz stuff, too, is because part of the reason he stepped down from it was there's all this controversy going around with all these allegations of, like, sex trafficking a minor and all these things that are going on, right? Like, it's very Kavanaugh-y.
And it looks very Intel.
And that's what I was getting to is it's looking and appearing more and more like an Intel operation to try and put all this stuff on him.
I'm sorry. The deep state is a conspiracy, Kyle. Please.
That's true. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be promoting these deep state conspiracies on this podcast.
We do not want someone to create a Wikipedia page on our behalf and calling us deep state conspiracy theorists.
I would love that.
Would someone please create a Wikipedia page for us?
We should create that.
One of you out there, please give us the honor of having our own Wikipedia page being called conspiracy.
But it's where you can just see where all this stuff is going, right? Like Mike Benz was on Rogan this morning, and I'm mostly through it. I haven't listened to all of it yet, but like when you just go back and you just do the debriefing of everything that's happened over the last decade or so here, is like, it's so clear just the amount that all of these Intel apparatuses that were formed during the Cold War and to be used against Russia and our enemies abroad have just been turned inside here and completely derailed of the American progress and pushed it towards like them basically deciding who gets elected. They get to decide who what policies are moving, what directions we're taking when it comes to legislation in Congress. Like, it's so, and we're finally getting to the point where we're just like, okay, we can have a breather from that and we can actually start peeling that apart and we can actually start shaming these people that have had decades of control over the entire process now. And it's like, we finally have this moment where it's like, okay, thank God. Like, we're actually going to have some wins here for once in our lives.
Yeah. That's the hope of the Trump presidency right there. When it comes to intel agencies, this is the equivalent of the Church Commission and what we saw in the 1970s. What we saw when we realized that the CIA was running operations to control the media, to the FBI was running operations to get Martin Luther King out as a variable for domestic policy. All of those things are happening now. They're just happening in a different way, through cutouts, through indirect means rather than direct means. If the theory is true, right? And there's a lot of evidence suggested right now. We'll see how the actual execution looks on it.
I want to do one more media reaction, and then we can go to get into kind of this the why it matters and what his early stages might look like as an FBI director if he gets confirmed. Because there's a point that Morning Joe, what was it,
Joe Scarborough.
I kept wanting to say Joe Walsh. Good job, Joe. there's a point there that he might not get confirmed.
True. Right.
And a lot of these great picks might not get confirmed. That is the thing, the part that we're in right now. But here's one more piece of the media reaction on him.
Backbone there, do you think, to defeat multiple nominees?
I don't know. I think it's possible. And look, we saw it with Matt Gaetz already, and I think that I was actually surprised how quickly that happened. To me, Kash Patel, I don't say this lightly, is the most dangerous nominee that we've seen yet to our democracy. I mean, you might think that having Pete Hegseth running the military is a greater level of danger because of his lack of experience, or Tulsi Gabbard at intelligence. But just as far as, the threats to democracy that we were warning up about before the election, and Kash Patel was a key player inside the Trump White House, pushing for and orchestrating the coup attempt in 2020. He was trying to completely take control of the Justice Department at the time. He was Trump's top lieutenant, who was willing to do anything and advance any lie in service of his attempt to overturn that last election, to such a degree that there were many people that were Trump appointees in 2020 who were staying around and saying no, like standing in the breach and saying, no, not Kash Patel. Like, you cannot put Kash Patel as a temporary leader of the Justice Department.
Yeah, and the one's not in the administration anymore.
Yeah, right. These are the people that Trump brought in that he said were the mistakes, are saying Kash Patel's a bad guy.
It's the Joe Walshes, those types of Republicans.
Which is exactly the reason why Trump won, was he said, that was a mistake. I'm going to do it differently this time, and I'm actually going to implement an actual change in direction for the U.S. government rather than continuing on the traditional roles of all these things that never change, that are so frustrating to conservatives to ever get a win. You get that one-way ratcheting. That itself is the deep state, that one-way ratchet that says we are always becoming more of a big government, always more power centralized in the executive, always more power centralized in D.C., that people are trying to disrupt. And the actual promise, the actual hope here is that we could see a disruption for the first time to some of those things. Will it be perfect? I don't know. Was he a January 6th tried to overturn instigator. The election thing? I have a lot of skepticism of that. If MSNBC says Gen 6, I go, I just drift off, man. I just can't care at this point.
He's a threat to our democracy, yeah, right? Like, they just preach the same talking points, and nobody cares about the talking points anymore.
I mean, their ratings are so low, Elon might buy MSNBC.
It would be hilarious.
I mean,
it would be so funny.
Rogan already offered to go in Rachel Maddow's spot.
He did.
He offered. He said he'd wear a wig and everything.
And he would tell the same lies, is also what he said, which I cannot imagine you would ever do.
Did you guys, this is a small aside, but did you see the View just started criticizing Rogan for, he believes in dragons.
And
Rogan changed his Twitter profile bio to saying a dragon believer.
did he mention that on an episode? Because I didn't see the episode where he said that.
Yeah, he mentioned it with a bunch of the comedians, I think. Yeah.
I think it was the latest Protect Our Parks.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh man.
Nice.
Who doesn't believe in dragons?
Do you believe in dragons?
Might have been the Jimmy Crocetti episode. Yeah, but anyways.
If you don't believe in dragons, they're going to eat you. Jordan Peterson impersonation. All right,
Jordan Peterson and the administration now dragons.
So what does this mean when it comes to declassification? Is one of the major things that a lot of people want to see out of the Trump administration. And the question is will Patel be a benefit in that area? Because obviously that's an area where resistance has happened through the more traditional picks who were qualified, I'm doing scare quotes to the people who aren't watching, were resisting to. And we're thinking here of declassification for lots of things. We'll get into UAPs in a little bit, but we also have the MLK files, JFK files, and then a lot of other basic things in the overclassification problem.
Yeah, and Patel's done a bunch of podcasts over the year where he's kind of, where you can really dive in and see where he is on all these things. So here is him kind of discussing the declassification angle if he was to be FBI director, CIA director, or one of those.
The other thing that I put in the book that I recommended the boss to do hits on this. We need a 24/7 declassification office.
Yes.
Rolling papers out 24/7. And not just like JFK, ticker tape. And not just 9/11. You're talking to the guy that's read the whole 9/11 report and those 7 pages that people talk about. But I believe, as like the guy who is an intel guy who believes wholeheartedly in the classified system of information, I believe that it has been overabused by these corrupt officials in government to hide the truth and the... and enact more corrupt activities. So what I told the boss was like, I don't care what you call it, truth and reconciliation, whatever, come up with a better name. But every agency and department literally submits all of their documentation. And I believe you could get half out, half. I still think the other half needs to remain classified. I'll always argue that it does serve a purpose. But the like you're seeing in these documents in the Jack Smith case, they're just redacting stuff that they lied about, that they broke the law.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's used to protect themselves.
And it's a public document in a federal court, which is a document for the people of the United States. And we can have you run that office. You can come in and just be like, hey, I want all the Saudi documents.
I'll gladly do that. I'd be so happy.
So Luke will be the press secretary for the Libertarian Party.
The declassifying document.
Yeah, then they go in. But you can kind of see his angle here.
Preach, brother!
Is declassify a lot of the things. Not everything. Yeah. And I think there's that makes sense. You don't have to declassify everything. I think there are things that it makes sense to be secret. But the question is there an overclassification problem? And yes. I think we could all say that that's probably the case. Yeah,
very clearly so.
And especially when the rules state for things like the JFK files that's supposed to be done after 50 years. And we just keep those things classified, right?
Yep. And I imagine on perhaps a lesser note, I imagine that Kash Patel will be very friendly to letting the Libertarian Party know if the FBI or the CIA has been spying on them, or if the NSA has been collecting information on them, which Angela McArdle has been filing FOIA requests on for
I think we can
a long time.
always. She says she has a big announcement about that.
We can borderline confirm. Like, it just feels so obvious.
Well, I mean, not it's the thing about the we can neither confirm nor deny response is that that's almost always a, well, yes, we are, but we can't tell you about it.
Right.
Well, like, the idea
like,
there,
FBI agents being at J6.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Like, exactly. Like the idea there of intelligence operations going on in third parties, like it's probably the same thing with the Green Party too. Even probably in like Andrew Yang's party and stuff like that. Maybe Andrew Yang himself. I'm not saying that, but like I could see that. But
some people are saying.
Well, it's because we do that in other countries. Like we do that in foreign countries, and we have seen how all of this stuff, especially with the censorship industrial complex and a lot of great work of Mike Benz and people and Schellenberger and people like that, have shown how much of this has moved domestically. It's like, why is it a crazy to think that that stuff's happening? Like I would assume, like if you're somebody that's working in politics, I would assume that there's probably people around you, especially if you're in big organizations, that are probably assets. Slash agents of some sort of intelligence operations.
Absolutely.
If you're in major organizations within politics, right?
I mean, you have to imagine that, yeah, the reach goes far and wide.
Yeah, because they have to control the thing. Like, this is the biggest monstrosity of power that has ever existed in the human in human existence that we're aware of, right?
Or like, unaware of.
Like, there's a lot at stake there. A lot of people are trying to control that Leviathan. You can't just be like, oh, people don't do that. Like, nope, of course people do that. People cheat in like basketball games. Right? Like, this is the biggest game of all time. Of course people are cheating for power.
Absolutely. Preach, brother.
Yeah, and we have his day one plan as one more clip from the Sean Ryan Show featuring Cash.
Another great podcast with him. Like I went back and listened to it recently, and it's great. I recommend the whole thing.
Biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government. Biggest problem the FBI has had has...
Afuera.
Afuera. Afuera.
I love it.
I would actually, because we have an FBI guy coming on.
Yeah,
soon,
I was actually going to say...
Is that next episode?
Yeah, I was just going to tease this. He'll be on Friday. Yeah.
I'd be curious to get his opinions on Cash Patel here too.
I have listened to a podcast where he's on, and he does specifically talk about people looking for their next promotion and how it really bogs down operations and investigations and stuff like that. So I think I'm curious what his overall thought is on Cash, but in that point specifically, I think he would very much agree.
Yeah. It's good timing for us to have this. It'll be very curious to kind of get
an inside look.
Yeah. Inside look at this.
Absolutely. So. Shifting topic slightly, I saw a tweet from our friend and partner at Human Reaction, Liam McCollum. He said something like, "I can't wait." Excuse me, I can't wait to visit the Museum of the Deep State when it opens. And you can rest assured, if the Museum of the Deep State opens, Human Reaction will take a team field trip to DC to go there.
It'd be kind of fun. Go to the old Hoover building and
be great to Hoover see my building, old right? Stopping grounds.
No, that's the partner organization. You're CIA.
I know. Right? I'm Wangley.
They're all the same. We know that. Yeah. They all serve the state. So the interesting part of there that I think that goes further, and he kind of suggests this, is the declassification and then the realignment of the FBI to prosecute crimes, right? Actually investigate and prosecute crimes. I do wonder, and I haven't found this, and maybe you've seen it, Kyle or Joe, is the entrapment FBI problem. And whether or not that is a priority and how he's going to conceptualize it. Because that's my biggest curiosity, wonder what's still out there.
He's definitely made FBI entrapment claims around J6 and things like that, too. So, yeah, like, I know it's something that seems to be, like, just from what I've gauged from him philosophically, like, that's definitely going to be an area that I think he would tackle.
Yeah. I think J6 is a great example. Whitmore would be interesting. I'd be very curious to see about the domestic terror, because that's a lot of counterterrorism unit, which is where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the folks who are worried about him are saying, okay, is this guy going to be serious in the job in taking on real threats to the United States? That doesn't seem like a threat, like a problem at all. He seems serious. He seems like a qualified person to run that, since he's counterterrorism and has worked in intelligence agency before. Although, you know, it doesn't seem like to me like there's any, is there a case that they're going to be misaligned on, you know, long-term reforms beyond this if what they're doing is bogging down into these other areas?
It's a big question.
There's another thing, because I remember from the Sean Ryan podcast too, where he was talking about all the crimes of Christopher Wray prior, where like they just released the documents and basically show there's like 270,000 times that he spied on American citizens without warrants and things like that. And he was sitting here complaining on this podcast about that as well.
And my big curiosity is, what is the process they're going to for all this domestic spying operations? Because they're still supposed to be getting FISA court warrants and stuff like that.
And he's a big FISA reform guy.
Yeah.
Very big.
And to the degree to which, if you can release that information, that we have the platform to build actual congressional reform for FISA reform, which would be huge. Well, because then you don't have the, you know, people who are worried about FISA reform are just worried about a paper tiger, the conspiracy theory, that sort of thing. Well, like, no. This is how many times they've abused it, and we have that information now from the FBI themselves.
Well, it seems to be, because like what I'm just tracking from the philosophy of all these cabinet picks, even the ones that I'm like a little bit lackluster on, there's a big, like the energy of Doge, of the Elon Vivek Doge energy of just gutting out all of this like bloat and nonsense that's going on in these areas is running through most of these candidates, right? Even like guys like Hegseth Homeland Security? No.
SecDef.
Yeah, SecDef. Homeland Security was Kristi Noem, right? But like all of these people, they're all about like gutting out the kind of the bloat and the nonsense and the corruption. Like that's a central theme of every single one of these picks that appears. And it's just like the Doge energy is spread throughout the administration. And that's where I think the biggest win is just like, there's going to be a culture of gutting out all the nonsense in all of these positions. It seems like,
yeah.
We'll see about Rubio. Rubio is the one that I think all of us are the most skeptical on. I think there's like, I'm aware of the organizations that he's a part of, and especially on the USAID stuff we were talking about he's on the GOP side of the USAID stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. But, and it's hard to say where Elon falls on a lot of the, the foreign policy picks, mm-hmm. but certainly with regard to like government reform stuff, he's on the right track, obviously. Absolutely. And it seems like through the amount of Twitter posts I've seen of pictures with him and Trump together at various places, he's going to be very hands-on and have a direct ear of the president at a lot of maybe pivotal moments, which just I think kind of speaks to maybe assuage some of the concerns that people have about Doge not being effective because it's not a real government agency. Like I think he's got a direct line with the president at any moment that he wants it.
Well, it seems like it's kind of like this NGO advisory board that's going to go in and go into like all these different agencies and see what's up, and then go to the directors in the key cabinet positions and be like, here's where all the problems are.
Yeah.
And then you have all these super friendly and part of the spirit of the project people at the top that can actually do something about it. Like that seems to be the benefit, is like you have this kind of third party entity that can really take a deep dive at everything. You know, there's going to be classification issues and stuff. Like there's going to be roadblocks. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be roadblocks.
It's going to be messy.
Right? It's going to be super messy. But it's just like the philosophy of Doge is running throughout pretty much all of these cabinet picks,
right?
For the most part. 90%.
Last piece on Kash Patel, I had this thought occur to me just moments ago regarding the way they refer to him as, you know, a threat to democracy, right? That is just a talking point, yes. But what if it was a little bit deeper in that there is the expectation that, yes, the deep state does exist. Yes, the intel agencies do operate on domestic soil and do work against their political adversaries, if you will, people that threaten their hegemony. And Kash Patel represents a threat to that, so they will be working in opposition to him instead of maybe doing their jobs of trying to stop terror threats, maybe trying to undermine him as the director of the FBI.
That's what we saw through the whole Trump presidency the first time, right? It's like all these intel officials that sign on to a document that are, you know, like all this stuff, and then Trump's revoking clearances from people. Like there's internal squabbles and wars that are going on in all of these agencies, right? Well, and that's the big thing on the intel side, is a lot of the people being able to take their classified information and going out into the private sector and do kind of like Operation Mockingbird type stuff in the media, go into private security work and private intelligence, going on to boards of companies and looking at where stocks are going to move on energy companies and things like that, right? like all those people just go in and take that knowledge into the private sector, and Trump basically cut off the flow by removing all of these people's security clearances.
Right, and that's a big fear for them, and you know that concern, and I think that's what Joe Scarborough was talking about when he said this is bad for the FBI and the people who work there, is because beyond them just saying oh he isn't qualified by our measurement of qualifications, it's that now the agency has to fight the person who's leading them,
right,
and so therefore they'll be diverted away from
the real
actual
work.
Job.
Yeah,
but that's the fault of them being unable to actually operate as an executive branch should. Where the executive branch actually follows the lead of the executor, the president, right? So as long as cash is in alignment with the president's will, that's the point of it. And the illusion here is this idea that you can have a professional executive branch that can operate unbiasedly regardless of who's president. And that's the Wilsonian illusion, right? That thing exists, and they'll be able to do it. They'll do it scientifically, and they'll do it in a neutral way that is just about administering the state according to the best practices of social
science.
Yeah, or in this case, social science, right? Of how to engineer the best society. When obviously that's bullshit,
yeah.
Right? And it was never true. It was always just a play for authoritarian dictatorships because that was in vogue in the Wilsonian era. And then we've embodied it and then carried it through all the way to today. It is not necessary. In fact, it's unconstitutional, and it's not a way to actually think about American liberties and how to orientate towards what the executive branch's role is supposed to be. Now, should we cut these down? Should they have narrower, duties, right? Yeah, totally. Should we reduce the amount of employees here? Yeah, totally. But in the meantime, we have this barrier of the professional class of administrators that you have to tackle first, to me. I mean, it seems like the appropriate way to prioritize. And I'd be very curious about, given the fact of where Congress is at and where the Senate's going to be at, that there's a reasonable expectation to go any other way with it.
Well, one of the big things, too, with it is just when we're looking at it, there's kind of the more libertarian side of how much we dislike a lot of these institutions and things like that. But also if you're just looking at it from how efficient are our taxpayer dollars going into all these things, guys like him, guys like Vivek has talked about getting rid of the FBI. And one of the reasons for it is just that there's a lot of overlap between all these other agencies. You have thousands and thousands of employees that are doing the same thing and have the same jobs as these other agencies. And it's we can just move those employees into other departments, into other agencies where they don't have to deal with this anymore. Right. It's every single agency has an entire floor of their building that's dedicated to the exact same project. It's and they're not working with each other. And it's how much of that is just waste? We could just gut so much of that. And a lot of the corruption and the problems that occur probably will end up going away with the cutting of those inefficiencies that exist too, right?
Possible. And what we really want to see in the long run is a moment where we're revealing lots of things, realigning the missions and the job descriptions of a lot of these folks to more narrowly curtail to what we would envision of the appropriate way to do a federal police force. Should there be a federal police force? No. But if there's going to be one, where should they come in? Well, they should be coming in to assist local police forces in capturing and doing the big work that needs to be done, and in particular circumstances. But granted that, after that, after we've exposed it, after we've realigned it, now we can go through a congressional process of actually changing the code that empowers them. Now, will that happen this cycle? Probably not. This is a long-term project that you're going to have to go on to, because these current senators and House is just not going to happen. Yeah. Right, so you do the best you can when you have it, and then maybe we can hope for is a longer term movement that can change the code so you get a permanent change in the administrative state.
Yeah.
Speaking of declassification, one of the areas that there's been a lot of movement on and a lot of hubbub on is declassification of aliens and UAPs and all these things. And there's been a lot of chitter chatter on the interwebs lately about a massive increase in sightings of UAPs. What is going on here, fellas? This is an area that I haven't really followed a whole lot.
I don't know what happened. I think you commented on it a few weeks ago. I'm not sure it ever made it into a show, but while I was away for the Thanksgiving holiday, I was just happened to be sitting around on X for a good bit of time, and I just happened to see a ton of new UAP videos. And I don't know how much of this was just like my ex algorithm discovering that I was into UAPs and then just serving me every single one that ever existed. But it seemed like all the ones that were date stamped were from like November 25th, 26th, all the way through the Thanksgiving holiday and the weekend. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of chatter about that. And you know, Kyle will pull up some of these for the YouTubers and the folks watching this, of clips of, you know, orbs hovering in the sky over all parts of the world. I mean, we have everything from Virginia Beach to the UK, Tucson, Arizona, North Carolina, Tajikistan, Manchester Airport. And we'll get a little deeper into some of these. New Jersey was a big one. There were pilots that discussed it as they were flying into Dallas, seeing orbs flying around. I mean, there were so many. Like, I started a folder on X just to contain all of the videos that I saw.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a noted trend. Same experience, probably about a week or two before, just started getting served a lot of these because all the algorithms know I watch the UAP stuff. And
you know what's funny? I'm not really getting served it much. So that's interesting.
And then what I started noticing were commentators saying, hey, have you seen all of these UAP videos coming out of the blue? And they're super abundant and they're everywhere all of a sudden. Now, I two potential outcomes there. My first antenna goes up and be like, maybe something's happening. The second one is, maybe this is an operation.
It's a constant battle. There are two wolves that live inside of all of us. One wants to believe that aliens are real, and the other thinks it's all a psyop.
Yeah, right.
Let me hypothesize something right
and
here.
And they both need to eat.
For it, right? Is, you know, who's to say that a lot of this, there seems to be a lot of rumblings going and maybe some escalations of war before the new presidency gets in. What if a lot of these are more like super advanced UAV or, you know, like some sort of spy stuff, tech from foreign entities in order to get a lay of the land before big events happen?
I mean, this is certainly possible. And I would say that could be some of these, but the question still remains, if this is super advanced technology that we've never seen before, where did it come from? I mean, I know we're like developing stuff in the background, black budget stuff, DARPA, all of the, you know, military industrial contractors are out there doing things that we know nothing about, mm-hmm. that are highly classified and all that. So maybe we are seeing some of that. The question is, in my mind, like a lot of people are calling these drones. I say people, like a lot of the mainstream, like legacy press is calling these drones. Mm-hmm. And as a drone pilot, like I know a little bit about at least consumer technology. And obviously there's a whole world of drones out there that I don't partake in, but battery technology is not good enough for these to stay airborne and stationary as long as they are. People are reporting these staying in place overnight, coming back night after night, staying for 8-10 hours at a time. That to me is a little bit strange. They're also very large. People are reporting these are like the size of cars, and I mean, you can see how bright these lights are. A bright light like that on a drone would take up a significant amount of battery life, so I'm just not sure that this technology is even possible that I'm aware of.
This is always the kind of mantra that I've always heard from people that have dealt with like classified military tech is, and I've heard this from multiple people that would be people that would be like,
they would
have insight into this, is to always assume we're 4 decades advanced on military tech.
Makes sense.
4 decades is always the number that I hear on it.
Well, I mean, yeah, so, you think about GPS, right? The military had GPS for 20 years probably before it became a thing you could exploit as a civilian.
Yeah. So this could be one of those things where, like, every time these things come up, I always have that in the back of my mind of assuming that.
But why? Why would they be flying over random airports? Why would they be flying over God knows where in the middle of Arizona or Tajikistan?
What? Why would they, if it's supposed to be so secret, why would they have these bright lights?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And why now?
And why now?
Why this time period?
That's why I was offering the hypothesis of just like increased surveillance.
Sure.
In case of foreign conflict type of stuff that's going on.
Yeah. So you're thinking these could be a foreign adversary, China or Russia, surveilling America or these other areas, including the UK.
And we probably do the same type of stuff abroad. Right?
Yes. But I've also read that, I mean, like there have been military forces that try to engage these things and they're way faster and are not susceptible to any of the anti-drone technology that we know of that we have. Like they're not able to shoot them down in in any cases that I've seen, and that maybe that's, you know, maybe there's stuff there that I'm not privy to.
Well, and also, if you're running a black budget program, your whole point is to not draw attention to you. So what is the goal of drawing attention to you? And then additionally that, if you're getting shot up by your own military, what is the gain there? And then lastly,
well, classification would be the reason for that. Like, you have people that don't
sequester classification.
Right?
Yeah, we have like the need to know. But I'm still making the case that like that's a very bad operation from that point of view.
Fair.
So there doesn't. Okay, so means, motive, and material evidence. We have interesting material evidence that some of these, not all of them. I think some of these could be actual literal drones just shot from a distance and then emphasized in some way to make them look brighter than they actually are. That's possible, but the way some maneuver are well outside of our understanding of current technology. That said, that doesn't mean if it's 4 decades, who knows what we can do in 4 decades.
True.
Yeah. Like, our knowledge of physics might be way more advanced than we realize.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
If that's true, that what that means is the government is literally has the ability to do space travel, like go to Mars within a month or 3 weeks or something like that. And they're not using it to colonize Mars right now. They're using it to freak out the people of Phoenix for some reason. Right?
Well, the conspiracy theory there could be things that are going on in space that we're unaware of, right? Because classifications.
No, space isn't real. That's the thing.
Space isn't real. Birds aren't real. Birds are just drones. highly advanced drone technology. Like synthetic drones, you know, or like biotech drones.
And COVID was an excuse to lock everybody inside so they can change all the batteries. That was the
right.
That's the joke.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. If we're talking about like the SR-71 that was being operated on for a long period of time, and there were people, and everything's compartmentalized. People don't really know what they're working on, and then they don't, and then people realize that it's like declassified, and it's like 4 decades later, and they're like, that was the thing. I worked on that, right? Like that type of stuff happens.
Sure,
right?
You did, Jim. Well, I mean, but then you have guys like Luis Elizondo, right, who was on the panel, the UAP panel in front of Congress, who like was a skeptic and came into this world and totally had his mind changed about there being entities from other planets or other dimensions or whatever that are interacting with us on this planet. So,
well, I've watched a lot of, like, I've seen old school, like, there's a lot of those videos out there that exist that are, like former official of wherever, some country, big high up scientists, and that you can look up their credentials and they have all these awards and things like that, that are like on their deathbed talking about what they saw in this scientific facility or whatever with grays or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
World might be a really complicated place and we just don't understand it, right?
That's
like,
true.
It very much could be.
That's true. Let's go ahead and play this clip from New Jersey. I think this was a pretty compelling one, and really the only instance that we've found so far of legacy press covering this phenomenon is something that's worthy of putting on the news.
Involved in an investigation into these mysterious, apparently small car-sized drones that people are spotting flying over New Jersey in the middle of the night. Look at this. One woman there took the video you're seeing. So that's it. It looks like it's flying pretty low, and from that perspective, it looks very large. Right. And all those lights in the sky that you see there, see those lights? Those are apparently drones as well, they say, seeming to fly in a V formation, with the whole saga stressing people out nearby.
We're all completely unnerved. I didn't sleep last night. When I would get up and look out my window at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., they were still hovering. I got up at 5:30 this morning and they were still there. As the sun was starting to rise, they went back in the same direction they came from, and I expect they'll be back as soon as the sun goes down tonight.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah, so that's your, like, they're staying up too long for existing technology, but then you have like the longer term. The question is, like, when you're assessing this, okay, so it seems like the rubric is something like you want to determine, does it have a shape that we don't understand, right? Because that's like the Tic Tac video, mm-hmm. right? Where it has a shape we don't understand. It has profiles that we don't understand.
Propulsion means that we don't understand.
Well, that's also from like 2004, too. Right. Like that's like 2 decades ago when the original video of that happened. With
maneuverability, Commander. We don't understand, right? The elevation, ability to go underwater, ability to all that kind of stuff. The acceleration and how fast it can accelerate. You do have some of these examples of like plasma-like activity where they kind of combine and turn into one object and then separate. That could be a lens thing in some cases.
Perspective as well.
Yeah, right. But you still have this, but sometimes you get like relatively close-up looks at these. When you're talking about the UAP committee, sorry, and the last part of that is the other kinds of, so we don't have a means, material evidence is we have these videos, but they're very grainy. Yeah. And it's hard to see. I mean, photography at night is very difficult. Like, this is a great example, like a manta ray looking one of something, right? That could be an artifact, I guess, of perspective.
Yeah, click to the next photo, Kyle.
Could be AI.
There's a couple other good
A lot of these could be AI enhanced. That's also the other thing is we got AI now, too. Yeah.
True.
There's also that.
And, true.
And Unreal Engine. Things like that can really make.
But you would think somebody making like a video or a photo with AI would like make it 4K, right? Like make it high resolution ish.
But if you make it more, it makes it actually makes it harder to believe. That's the irony of the situation, because a lot of times they're actually disproven by how clear they are.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So and the
I need a salt like a really grainy photo of Bigfoot. That's what I need.
What's interesting about the graininess question and the, like the clarity question is one of the reasons. So Michael Schellenberger in the UAP committee that we didn't cover from 2 weeks ago that you were mentioning, his whole case was what we covered with the Immaculate Constellation, which is apparently a human intel system, basically a database of what is claimed by the whistleblower that gave Schellenberger the documents that he then confirmed. Are video and pictures material evidence of this aircraft collected by the United States government, not because they have that capability, but because they don't have that capability, that are high definition and more confirming of a foreign origin.
Yeah, and Luis Elizondo alluded to the same thing in his Rogan appearance from August, where he said, like, what's out there is like the lowest hanging fruit of media that's available of these things. There's so much that that they haven't declassified. It's sort of a limited hangout situation where they're only giving us enough to think it might be possible, but to not be totally convinced. But apparently there's just troves of media that suggest in much higher definition that these things are very much not technology that we have.
What if these next 4 years we just get declassifications out the wazoo on everything. Intel operations, FBI, CIA, everything, all these different agencies, UAPs. Well, these next 4 years could be crazy, depending on how things go.
It could be crazy.
Like just from an information standpoint.
I want to note before we close that today would have been, if this prophecy of sorts would have come true, some sort of alien invasion day. And you might have seen rumblings of this on Twitter. Again, this was me like sitting at home, like in between family events.
The algorithm's got you dialed.
Chilling by the fire. I saw a lot of people talking about this actually. So in 2009, this guy named Cliff High created a program called WebBots. And essentially his intention was for it to originally be something that could like scan the internet for information and figure out good stock trades to make. But he turned it on something else and he basically had it predict broader global events. And it identified this, what I think he called a temporal landmark in the future. Remember, this is 2009. The landmark it identified was an interview between Donald Trump and Joe Rogan. And in 2009, Joe Rogan had been podcasting for all of, I think, 6 months maybe. And telekinesis, Kyle. And Donald Trump was just the apprentice guy.
Yeah.
He was so far from ever running for president. So here we are. October 25th, I believe it was, Joe Rogan interviews Donald Trump. The other thing...
Still got 4 hours left in the day.
It's possible.
That could just be seen as a very pivotal moment, is the initiation of that relationship or something like that. It could be a temporal moment, we might say.
Well, and it certainly was. It was the most consequential interview possibly in modern American history or global history. But there was another piece to it. It also established that 39 days after this temporal landmark, something major would happen. Today is 39 days after that interview. And what someone had done after that, and I don't know if this was Cliff specifically or other parties involved who knew about this, they contracted a team of remote viewers to try to remote view into the future. Operation Stargate. We'll get there someday. Okay. We'll get there someday. Yeah. We'll do a full thing on it.
Yeah, we are thinking about a skiff episode on Stargate.
We are.
Doing a deep dive on
we'll
it.
We'll do that. It takes a lot of research because it's very out there.
A lot of stuff there.
But basically, this team of remote viewers, like many of them independently saw what they referred to as like a melee of fighters and UAPs.
Like fighter jets.
Yeah. Correct. So like, you
Independence
know.
Independence Day.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
although it wasn't clear that it was like a combat. It was just the sky was filled with fighter jets and UAPs.
That could be World War III right there.
Who knows?
War of the Worlds.
That would have happened today. I didn't see any. I didn't see any UFOs today. I was pretty disappointed. But you know, it's not necessarily clear that the 39-day thing is like an exact amount of time. It didn't predict when the Trump Rogan interview would happen. It just said it would happen. So maybe with all this activity, we're in for some more interesting times.
Yeah, how did it pinpoint, like, did it pinpoint that was just a very important day, or was it, did it pinpoint Trump and Rogan?
Trump and
like,
Rogan.
Specifically. Wait, how did it get those pinpoints?
I don't know. Maybe we should try to get Cliff high on the
show. Yeah, because that's what I'm curious. Because actually what I was gauging when I was listening to you, what I thought was just like, this is a very pivotal day in like the temporal timeline or mm-hmm. something, or whatever we want to call it. I didn't realize it was like.
It was just that event yeah. would happen. And it was marked as an important point in time.
Another thesis for the now question is, well, we have the biggest escalation towards nuclear war that we've faced since the Cuban Missile Crisis. We have an escalation in Syria, in Israel, in Ukraine, happening all simultaneously.
South Korea declared martial law today.
It's weird stuff going on in South Korea. Thank you, Brittany.
2 hours and 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. there's so much there going on. Is that an explanation for the increases? Because we do know that there is a traditional understanding of UAPs, a connection between nuclear power plants, nuclear missiles, silos, and these sorts of phenomena. In fact, it happened at Maelstrom and this like very legendary case where
here in Montana.
Red light was seen. Yeah, here in Montana, and the Minuteman missile systems like turned off, and a bunch of people saw this light sitting over the base. That itself,
Stargatey.
Pretty Stargatey.
Seems kind of Stargatey.
Yeah. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but that's a story, right? Yeah. That's been told. So is that an explanation or an alternative one? Another one is Project Blue Book, right? And Project Blue Book was this idea that you use technology to create a panic above a country in order to create a change in the political system. For example, the classic case of Project Blue Book is actually pitched that we have the information about was to put Mother Mary above Cuba to cause a Cuban uprising of Catholic Cubans against the atheist communist dictatorship. Could they accomplish that? Probably not by the technology of the time, even it being four decades ahead. By 1990, this was in the 1960s, you still did not have, or the 2000s, we still don't have a good way to, with common tech, to display a picture in the sky.
We do. We do have the tech, and it's drones.
I've seen some crazy drones, yeah. Like drones.
That's
and stuff,
I'm not referring to that. I mean, like hologram like pictures.
But I don't know. They could still make.
And is there any
Mother
evidence
Mary?
that the
it goes into
that the 40-year time frame that holds that in the year 2000 we had the drone technology to do that.
Well,
in the 1960s,
and it goes in because there's a conspiracy theory that's not necessarily part of a declassified operation, but it's a similar name. It's supposed to be Project Blue Beam, which the whole premise of Project Blue Beam in the conspiracy theory iceberg, you know, of conspiracy theories is that you're using kind of like this like levitation technology to simulate the rapture. And also that UFOs and people getting abducted and going up and like our classic models of the flying saucers and the light beam that Project Blue Beam, Light Beam brings mm-hmm. up the people. That's a testing ground for a future plan to put the rapture forward and then use that as a narrative for installing a new system, new world, one world government, et cetera, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. Right?
I don't know. I remember if it was Blue Book or Blue Beam, but there was also talk of being.
Well, Blue Book is an actually like. Project that
yeah.
we know of
oh, okay. to research UFOs yeah. and then
oh
and,
sure
and
Blue Beam's like a conspiracy
theory. then it's Blue Beam that there was talk of them researching the ability to actually project voices into people's heads so that it could be like hearing the voice of God tell them things obviously
I'm freaking
to
out, man.
And, a, lot, and a lot of this out, stuff man. Is very Project Stargatey right like right. Stargatey it's very Stargatey
yeah
but because the premises of this going back to
which is remote viewing to be clear,
is remote viewing and also like so there's a lot of these psychological operations like actually studying human psychology that was going on during the Cold War like segments of the CIA that are like seeing testing hypnosis techniques and being able to project your body and see if we can like conduct assassinations. The comedic movie Men Who Stare at Goats is a comedic take on this and also has some CIA funding behind it, which is kind of interesting. So, but yeah, so like there's, and a lot of it was kind of like, well, the Soviets are like taking children down in submarines and going down to very low pressure or high pressure environments in the bottom of the ocean and test and using the trauma of the situation to test their psychic powers. And like these types of things are in documents
that are part
of these projects.
The U.S. government actually did, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and trying to differentiate these, right? So some of these things are conspiracy theories about the core concept of a released thing. That and it's layered on top of that released thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this lines up with the other things we know. We know Project MK Ultra. We did a deep dive on that. One of the skiffs,
Midnight Climax.
All of those projects were all in order to try to manipulate the minds of people in order to create political, you know, conditions so that you could overthrow a government or assassinate somebody or change something.
Oh no! Yeah. Like the U.S. government funded Latin American paramilitary campaigns to kidnap people and induce trauma experiments, like, and young kids, we're talking like rape torture.
Yeah.
Can't say that
the funding bleep that Bennett bleep torture.
Yeah.
But like this is a part of the history of these institutions, right?
Which is why we hate them so very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like it's one of these things where who knows about any of this stuff? Like,
yeah.
I'm open to all sorts of different hypotheses on what these things are.
Well, and it does suggest motive, right? So we have some theories of motive. We just don't have a clear motive, and that's where the declassification has to come in. Is where we can actually anchor more in clarity about what actually, not without revealing new technology or whatever. If there is an attempt to mass manipulate, that wouldn't be covered by what we need for technology purposes, right, for foreign operations. And if there is a firm philosophy from the Trump administration that internal operations in the United States by these intelligence agencies to manipulate the public in a particular direction is not legal and shouldn't be interpreted that way, it should be interpreted as illegal, will we get actual release in that direction?
Well, and a lot of these things have probably now moved into private NGOs that are black budgeted and contracted out and heavily classified. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these scientific operations are going to be outside sources that are entangled with the intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the defense industrial base.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can rest assured that if this next clip ever happens over Joe Rogan's house, he will be fully Project Bluebeamed by the Chinese.
Okay.
And this is just an example of what is now capable with drone light technology.
So for audio listeners, we're looking at a Chinese dragon being operated by drones over
like Beijing or something like that.
Yeah, there's got to be like 1,000 drones in this formation making a dragon. And there's another clip that's...
You did such a great job.
Thank you so much, Bennett. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Jill.
On that note, guys, it's been a great episode. Thanks for going along with us today. It's always hard for us to be brief when we're talking about conspiracy theories and aliens.
Yeah, it was much more like our old format. We went into it briefly. There was a bunch of things to talk about.
You know what? You got to do it. And we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for being here. Please like, follow, subscribe anywhere that you are watching or listening. To become a member and get access to our exclusive members-only content, go to humanreactionpod.com. Thanks again for David Rand, Kyle Mack, Bennett on the buttons. My name's Joe Sheehan. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Oh my God.